Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show on a Monday morning. I am Farah Bashir and joining me again is...
And I'm Ward Ahmed.
So we are going to be talking about the Olympics, but before we do so, let me just give you a quick rundown through our topics for the day. So Dubai Taxi Company reports a 14% revenue growth, reaches $297 million. And as well, the famous Inside Out 2 becomes the biggest animated film ever, surpassing Frozen 2 amid Disney boycott calls recently. And as well, Saudi Arabia is among 80 countries preparing to sign a global agreement on e-commerce. However, have we seen the controversy that the Olympics has faced recently? Well, we know that the Olympics has been held in Paris for 2024, and as beautiful as it is for everyone who loves sports, a lot of people were, I would say, angry on the opening ceremony, yeah, of course, and businessmen have commented on that. Now, in light of that, of course, what happened is we have the businessman Naguib Suarez slams Olympics for disrespectful mockery of the Last Supper.
Yes.
Christians got angry. Everyone got angry. Businessmen got angry as well. And of course, they got angry because the Last Supper identifies with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were people who were, I would say, from the LGBTQ community. And that was really not it for everyone. People did not like it. People commented and so on. And the reason why they faced that much of controversy is because we know that in France there's a hijab ban. There is, yeah, as well, cultural representation. And regarding the opening ceremony, it featured performances that included drag queens and controversial recreation of the Last Supper, which, as I said earlier, drew criticism from the conservative and religious groups who saw it to be disrespectful, and as well regarding the food quality concerns.
Yeah, it's essentially what happened. The famous businessman in Egypt, Naguib Suarez, slammed the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics as disrespectful and a very bad taste. Now, this really does pose the question of, will this affect business deals with France and the Middle East? And
of course,
however, yeah, it has had very divided opinions. Naguib Suarez has said this. However, a man from the UAE known as Abdul Khalik Abdullah said that these may be disgusting scenes to the taste of some, but the opening ceremony, which lasted 3 hours, was amazing, wonderful, and focused on the values of justice, equality, freedom, and brotherhood, which are among the vital sources of French society.
Exactly, but that's why it faced that much criticism, because, yeah, like, if you guys are that open, then why is there a hijab ban? Why are there as well a lot of cultural representation? And if we would want to think of how will it impact on business, of course, the controversy may, I would say, deter tourists and visitors who would want to go to France or even attend the Olympics, impacting local businesses that rely on the influx of visitors for revenue as well. It will affect the brand image. So companies associated with the Olympics might face a lot of,
yeah,
backlash. And
that's very
we
true.
Have seen a lot of like boycotts happening because of the genocide that is going on in Gaza. So I think as well the brand image, like, because of that, they might face kind of like a backlash and boycotts.
Yeah.
You never know. And as well, the public relations challenges, because organizers, will need to invest significantly in the public relations effort to mitigate the fallout from these controversies. However, we know that, you know, in summary, the controversy surrounding the 2024 Paris Olympics situation is because it happens because, you know, like, it includes inclusivity of all. However, is it really including that inclusivity of all?
Yeah.
And people are having like these questions run down through
and,
their minds.
As Farah mentioned, people are having these questions. They're having these questions specifically because what essentially happened in the opening ceremony is that they portrayed the famous image from Da Vinci known as the Last Supper. And essentially what the Last Supper is, that it refers to the final meal that Jesus Christ shared with his 12 apostles before he was crucified. So that specific Christian symbolism used in the context that it was used did receive a lot of backlash.
100%. And as I said earlier as well, we do expect the business situation in France to maybe go back a little bit, but we never know. But let's jump to our stories for the day. So Dubai Taxi Company reports 14% revenue growth and reaches $297 million. So Dubai Taxi Company, as said, reported the growth reaching $297 million, which equals 1.9 billion dirhams. And this increase was driven by the core taxi segment. So EBI TDA rose by 27%. And if you guys don't know what is the ETDIVA, it is technically the earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So it is a financial metric used to assess a company's operating performance and profitability. If it as well provides a clear view of the company's core earnings by excluding non-operating expenses and so on. So without, of course, I don't want to give you guys a headache of the full term. However, it leaves us off like, what happened, or like what actually caused all of these the growth?
Their growth to go up.
Yes, their growth.
Look, Farah, I'm gonna tell you a story. Yesterday, when I was at work and I was on my way home, I took the RTA bus, and for me to reach my house, I take two routes. So I have to go from Mall of the Emirates to Dubai Studio City, get off the bus in Dubai Studio City, and then get on another bus. And what happened was that I, you know, the Knoll card.
Yeah.
I topped up my Knoll card online, but the balance didn't load in my card. And so what happened was, I was able to reach Dubai Studio City. Yeah. But then when I came to take the bus home, my Knoll card declined. The balance was not topped up. I have the receipt and everything. And, you know, I stood there. My phone charge was low. My phone charge was low.
The sun was... one of those days when you have everything go against your way.
The sun was scorching. But then guess what happened? Taxi showed up. And I was able to get home. Honestly, taxis are very underrated. This is why
that
they're
growing. That is true. I mean, like, if we were going to look at why is the growth, or what were the factors that contributed to the 14% of growth, it's because now more taxis have been added. So Dubai Taxi Corporation has added 294 new vehicles to the taxi. So it's really good. It's very convenient. And because, you know, as well, a lot of people are actually joining or millionaires will be joining the country soon, as well, increased trips. So the company completed 23 million trips, which was a 4% increase from the previous year, and as well higher fares. So tariffs set by the Road and Transport Authority, RTA, has increased for airport taxes to boost their revenue, and as well the diverse services that they are providing. So revenue as well grew in other areas like limousines and buses, with the bus segment seeing a 26% increase. And there is, as you said, or what happened with you, a strong demand.
And it's not just a demand. I truly believe it's, you know, Dubai Taxi, the drivers that they have, they know when to be at the right place at the right time for when people need them. Because when I got into that taxi, I truly thought I wouldn't find one because my phone battery was low. I forgot to fill in my credit. I was just standing there and I'm like, I really hope and pray that a taxi shows up right now. And it did in like 2 minutes. It was very quick. And I remember when I got into the taxi driver, he told me that you are the third person that I pick up today because their Knoll card dysfunctioned on their way to your community. So what that showed me is that these taxi drivers, not only is the company itself amazing in providing these services, these taxi drivers, they know when to be at the right time. They know the needs of the people and they know when to fulfill those needs. And I think that what happened to me is a prime example of that.
Of course, you know, and because of that, they are providing a lot of cars, right?
Yeah.
Tourists are coming. Tourism is increasing in the UAE, and as well, business people are coming, people are investing their business, people are opening up their business and so on. And the country, in order to help with that. They are, I would say, cooperating with people, with tourists, whether they're tourists or residents. And yeah, that's beautiful. Well, let's jump to our next story. So, of course, have you watched Inside Out?
Yes,
really?
I have. I loved
it. You. I mean, honestly, I heard a lot of things about Inside Out. I'd love to watch it. But we know that there has been some boycott happening to Disney because of the genocides. So Inside Out becomes biggest animated film ever, surpassing Frozen 2 amid the Disney boycott calls. Disney's Inside Out 2 has achieved an extraordinary milestone, becoming the highest grossing animated film of all times, with a global box office totaling $1.46 billion.
Insane. And it even beat Frozen. It even beat Frozen 2.
Exactly. It I mean, that is like the biggest thing, because, like, you know, the Disney has faced a lot of boycott calls. So remarkably, of the success, of course, and the ongoing boycott calls for Disney for Gaza genocide and initial backlash following Disney's decision to pull ads from Elon Musk's X platform. Yeah. Users on Elon Musk's platform have been very vocal about canceling their Disney Plus subscription, with a noticeable spike in search interest for canceling Disney.
Yeah, they have dominated the box office despite the boycotts. Essentially, just to give you all a bit of context, what happened is that following the conflict between Hamas and Israel, Disney made an official announcement that it will be pledging $2 million and further initiatives to support Israel. And this is what essentially led to those boycotts. However, now what we're seeing here is that those boycotts, they're not working. Disney, it's still winning. Inside Out 2, it's dominated the box office. And, you know, it really makes you think, how powerful is Disney?
Well, you know what? Actually, the looking at Inside Out and what have they done right, right? It's like it makes you think, like, okay, fine. If Disney is getting boycotted, what are the factors that contributed to Inside Out's success? So, one of the reasons is because of their strong global appeal. So, the film's success is attributed to its broad appeal across various demographics, particularly families and younger audience, with its engaging story that, of course, explores the complexities of emotions.
Yes.
And the fact that there is a story, there is a timeline that is very interesting, it kind of like maybe made sense to people.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And what we're seeing here is that, you know, Disney's magic, it's invincible. You know, boycotts can't stop it. You know, Disney, what we're seeing here is that Disney, it's transcending politics. It's transcending boycotts. The magic of Disney that you mentioned, you know, their enchantment, you know, Disney, it's unstoppable in the business world.
I agree with you, actually. 100%.
And we're seeing that here.
Yeah, because we did see like this rapid success. It has reached almost like $1 billion, which is very fast, of course. Yeah. And as well, because it is, as you said, it is maybe they have found like the, they aimed at kids, emotions, and so on.
On that point that you mentioned, you know, Farah here mentioned something really interesting.
Yes.
That the film, it was about emotions. And, you know, I think the topic of emotions, especially in business, it's really interesting because, you know, what makes a business? What starts a business? What ends a business?
Exactly. Because
it's emotions.
Yes, I mean, that's, and, you know, when you would, like, search, like, finding what strategy did they use to promote the movie Inside Out? Because, of course, you know, amid all of the boycotts, it keeps you in question, like, okay, how did this work? And the other, and it's getting boycotted because they did emotional marketing, you guys. Their movies about emotions, and they use emotional marketing. So the marketing campaign focused on the emotional themes of the film, aiming to resonate with the audience, as we mentioned, and as well the extensive brand partnerships that they have done, and they as well targeted Gen Z.
Yeah.
So Gen Z is very powerful.
You know, when I watched the film, I think what particularly made it amazing, I don't think that it connected with Gen Z because, you know, I'm a part of Gen Z. And when the film was released a long time ago, the first one, I was very young. And now the main character, the protagonist, Riley, she's at the age of like 15. You know, I'm 19. I didn't find it relatable in that sense. In that sense, but what I found it relatable in was those emotions and what they can drive you to do.
I mean, like, that's what they did, right?
Like, you know, Nagib Suarez, he said that ambition and greed aren't something bad. It's yes. wanting to do better. And
that,
you know, we see in Inside Out, Riley, let me tell you about it. So Riley, she plays hockey.
Okay.
And when she was playing hockey, we could see how, you know, the different emotions, like, mm-hmm. for example, fear, you know, he would tap the button so that, you know, the fear could drive her to play better. Mm-hmm. And I believe what Inside Out showed that, you know, normal emotions, you know, they can make you a good person.
Yeah.
But, you know, bad emotions, like emotions that are villainized, they can make you great. Like embarrassment, greed, ambition. And, you know, just on the topic of businessman, mm-hmm. businessmen, do you think that's important to have
those
emotions?
Of course. Because you know what? I feel like in business, if the right, I'd say, amount of emotion, if it is implemented in business, it will go right. Because when you are, like, let's say, if I have a consumer, how yeah. will I be selling my products? Because mm. I need to tap into what the consumer needs and wants.
Yeah.
And this is, like, one of the most important factors.
Yeah, I agree
for,
with you.
For any business
you know,
to succeed.
Faraha, I also think, you know, a business succeeding, it's not just about the emotions that you're channeling mm-hmm. into the business and that the emotions that you're trying to touch people with. I think as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, it's also the emotions that you have within yourself. And, you know, we see that in very famous businessmen. Like, for example, Khalaf Al-Habtour mm-hmm. in the UAE. You know that according to the Khalij Times, he wakes up before 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. He plays tennis and he's already ready for his meeting by 7:30 a.m. That emotion, that discipline, that ambition, it's 100%. What drove his business to be great.
Yes, and yeah. that's what they did, you know, with the Inside Out. Because, like, they have just, like, maybe showed the world
yeah.
that, you know what, this is what you feel, and this is how your life is, and we feel you, we hear you. And just like got that much of success. But let's go now to our next story. So Saudi Arabia is among 80 countries preparing to sign a global agreement on e-commerce. We know e-commerce. It is
yeah, we love
very
e-commerce.
Prominent. Who does not shop online? Seriously, who does not shop online? I do all the time.
Yeah.
Do you shop online?
Of course. I love Noon Minutes. I love Amazon.
Yeah.
I need it. I need
yeah.
it to live.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we have, it has been implemented in our minds that, you know what, we can just get things on the go, like in maximum half an hour. Because I didn't want to say minutes, even though, like, Noon Minutes is amazing. So around 80 countries, including Saudi Arabia, have reached a parliament agreement on global e-commerce regulations, recognizing e-signatures and protecting against online fraud. So, of course, with the love of shopping online comes fraud and scams
yeah.
all the time. We cannot escape from them.
That's true.
Which is very devastating. So the World Trade Organization announced the stabilized text after 5 years of discussions. Key provisions include recognizing e-signatures, protecting against online fraud, digitalizing customs progress, and as well supporting least developed countries, which is very exciting. Honestly, at this point, I feel like it's very tricky when you are purchasing something online, or even trying to sell things online, you can get scammed.
Yeah, that's true.
In a very simple manner.
But, you know, Farah, I see this case study as, you know, something more than just preventing mm-hmm. fraud. You mm-hmm. know, we're seeing Saudi in deals.
Yes.
You know,
I mean,
they have deal yeah. with around 80 countries. You know, we're seeing that the country, it's really expanding. You know, they're working with people. They're working with Australia, Japan, Singapore, which they are the countries that led these talks for this agreement.
Of course, and as well, like, if you want to look at, like, the benefits of this amazing agreement, it is particularly beneficial for micro, small, and medium enterprises. Because, like, when you open a company, right, you don't want to get called out for fraud, whether you're trying to sell or not. So I would say this agreement as well helps a lot. And as well, it's great to support for developing countries, specifically Saudi Arabia. The agreement includes provisions to assist developing and least developed countries in implementing the new rules, ensuring they can participate in the globally digital economy effectively. And as well, the agreement has received support from various international bodies, including the European Commission, which views it as a foundational step for global digital trade. So overall, Saudi Arabia's involvement in this agreement highlights its commitment to advancing its digital economy and as well aligning with global standards in e-commerce. E-commerce is really big. I shop online all the time, and with this agreement, just like I would say, provides us the rights of both the consumer and as well the person who's trying to sell their products. So it's like a win-win situation.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, thank you so much. Well, you guys, this brings us to the end of the show. Don't forget to tune in on our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter to get our news first hand.